The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.
There you are. Hi, this is Steve Webb. I'm your host. This is the LifeSpring Family Bible. It's episode number 188, and today we'll be beginning the book of Nehemiah. We'll read chapters 1 through 4. Are you ready? Let's begin. Nehemiah chapter 1. These are the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. It so happened that in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, I was in Susa, the citadel. Hanani, who was one of my relatives, along with some of the men from Judah, came to me, and I asked them about the Jews who had escaped and had survived the exile, and about Jerusalem. They said to me, "The remnant that remains from the exile there in the province are experiencing considerable adversity and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem lies breached, and its gates have been burned down." When I heard these things, I sat down abruptly, crying and mourning for several days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Please, O Lord God of heaven, great and awesome God who keeps his loving covenant with those who love him and obey his commandments, may your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant that I am praying to you today throughout both day and night on behalf of your servants, the Israelites. I am confessing the sins of the Israelites that we have committed against you. Both I myself and my family have sinned. We have behaved corruptly against you, not obeying the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments that you commanded your servant Moses. Please recall the word you commanded your servant Moses. If you act unfaithfully, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you repent and obey my commandments and do them, then even if your dispersed people are in the most remote location, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen for my name to reside. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your mighty strength and by your powerful hand. Please, O Lord, listen attentively to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who take pleasure in showing respect to your name. Grant your servant success today and show compassion to me in the presence of this man." Now I was the cupbearer for the king. Nehemiah chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to me, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Previously, I had not been depressed in the king's presence. So the king said to me, "Why do you appear to be depressed when you aren't sick? What can this be other than sadness of heart?" This made me very fearful. I replied to the king, "O king, live forever. Why would I not appear dejected when the city with the graves of my ancestors lies desolate and its gates destroyed by fire?" The king responded, "What is it you're seeking?" Then I quickly prayed to the God of heaven and said to the king, "If the king is so inclined, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, dispatch me to Judah, to the city with the graves of my ancestors, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with his consort sitting beside him, replied, "How long would your trip take, and when would you return?" Since the king was amenable to dispatching me, I gave him a time. I said to the king, "If the king is so inclined, let him give me letters for the governors of Trans-Euphrates that will enable me to travel safely until I reach Judah, and a letter for Asaph, the keeper of the king's nature preserve, so that he will give me timber for beams for the gates of the fortress adjacent to the temple, and for the city wall, and for the house to which I go." So the king granted me these requests, for the good hand of my God was on me. Then I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, and I presented to them the letters from the king. The king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard all this, they were very displeased that someone had come to seek benefit for the Israelites. So I came to Jerusalem. When I had been there for 3 days, I got up during the night, along with a few men who were with me. But I did not tell anyone what my God was putting on my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no animals with me except for the one I was riding. I proceeded through the valley gate by night in the direction of the Well of the Dragons and the Dung Gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem that had been breached and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. I passed on to the gate of the well and the king's pool, where there was not enough room for my animal to pass with me. I continued up the valley during the night, inspecting the wall. Then I turned back and came to the valley gate and so returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had been doing, For up to this point I had not told any of the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or the rest of the workers. Then I said to them, "You see the problem that we have. Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned. Come on, let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that this reproach will not continue." Then I related to them how the good hand of my God was on me and what the king had said to me. Then they replied, "Let's begin rebuilding right away." So they readied themselves for this good project. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard all this, they derided us and expressed contempt toward us. They said, "What is this you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" I responded to them by saying, "The God of heaven will prosper us. We, his servants, will start the rebuilding. But you have no just or ancient right in Jerusalem." Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib the high priest and his priestly colleagues arose and built the sheep gate. They dedicated it and erected its doors, working as far as the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built adjacent to it, and Zakur son of Imri built adjacent to them. The sons of Hasaneah rebuilt the fish gate. They laid its beams and positioned its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, worked on the section adjacent to them. Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, worked on the section next to them. And Zadok, son of Baana, worked on the section adjacent to them. The king of Tekoa worked on the section adjacent to them, but their town leaders would not assist with the work of their master. Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodeiah, worked on the Jeshana gate. They laid its beams and positioned its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Adjacent to them worked Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Moronathite, who were men of Gibeon and Mizpah. These towns were under the jurisdiction of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uziel, son of Harhaiah, a member of the Goldsmiths Guild, worked on the section adjacent to him. Hananiah, a member of the Perfumers Guild, worked on the section adjacent to him. They plastered the city wall of Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, head of a half-district of Jerusalem, worked on the section adjacent to them. Jedaiah, son of Harumaph, worked on the section adjacent to them opposite his house, and Hattush, son of Hashabniah, worked on the section adjacent to him. Malchijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath-Moab, worked on another section in the Tower of the Firepots. Shalom, son of Halohash, head of a half-district of Jerusalem, worked on the section adjacent to him, assisted by his daughters. Hanun and the residents of Zanoah worked on the valley gate. They rebuilt it and positioned its doors, its bolts, and its bars, in addition to working on 1,500 feet of the wall as far as the Dung Gate. Malchijah, son of Rechab, head of the district of Beth Hakerem, worked on the Dung Gate. He rebuilt it and positioned its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Shallon, son of Kol-Hoza, head of the district of Mizpah, worked on the Fountain Gate. He rebuilt it, put on its roof, and positioned its doors, its bolts, and its bars. In addition, he rebuilt the wall of the Pool of Siloam by the royal garden as far as the steps that go down from the city of David. Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, head of the half-district of Beth-Zur, worked after him as far as the tombs of David and the artificial pool and the house of the warriors. After him, the Levites worked, Rehum, son of Benai, and after him, Hashabiah, head of half the district of Keilah for his district. After him, their relatives worked, Binui, son of Henadad, head of a half-district of Keilah. Adjacent to him, Azer, son of Jeshua, head of Mizpah, worked on another section, opposite the ascent to the armory at the buttress. After him, Baruch, son of Zabai, worked on another section, from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, worked on another section from the door of Eliashib's house to the end of it. After him, the priests worked, men of the nearby district. After them, Benjamin and Hashub worked opposite their house. After them, Azariah, son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, worked near his house. After him, Binui, son of Henadad, worked on another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress and the corner. After him, Palal, son of Uzai, worked opposite the buttress and the tower that protrudes from the upper palace of the court of the guard. After him, Pedaiah, son of Parosh, and the temple servants who were living in Ophel worked up to the area opposite the water gate toward the east and the protruding tower. After them, the men of Tekoa worked on another section from opposite the great protruding tower to the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gate, the priests worked, each in front of his house. After them, Zadok, son of Immer, worked opposite his house. After him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, guarded the east gate, worked. After him, Hananiah, son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zaloph, worked on another section. After them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, worked opposite his quarters. After him, Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, worked as far as the house of the temple servants and the traders, opposite the inspection gate, and up to the room above the corner. And between the room above the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and traders worked. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was quite upset. He derided the Jews, and in the presence of his colleagues in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they be left to themselves? Will they again offer sacrifice? Will they finish this in a day? Can they bring these burnt stones to life again from piles of dust?" Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was close by, said, "If even a fox were to climb up on what they are building, it would break down their wall of stones. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Return their reproach on their own head. Reduce them to plunder in a land of exile. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not wipe out their sin from before them. They have bitterly offended the builders." So we rebuilt the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. The people were enthusiastic in their work. When Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the restoration of the walls of Jerusalem had moved ahead and that the breaches had begun to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to move with armed forces against Jerusalem and to create a disturbance in it. So we prayed to our God and stationed a guard to protect against them both day and night. Then those in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers has failed. The debris is so great that we are unable to rebuild the wall." Our adversaries also boasted, "Before they are aware or anticipate anything, we will come in among them and kill them, and we will bring this work to a halt." So it happened that the Jews who were living near them came and warned us repeatedly about all the schemes they were plotting against us. So I stationed people at the lower places behind the wall in the exposed places. I stationed the people by families, with their swords, spears, and bows. When I had made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awesome Lord, and fight on behalf of your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your families." It so happened that when our adversaries heard that we were aware of these matters, God frustrated their intentions. Then all of us returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day forward, half of my men were doing the work and half of them were taking up spears, shields, bows, and body armor. Now the officers were behind all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. Those who were carrying loads did so by keeping one hand on the work and the other on their weapon. The builders to a man had their swords strapped to their sides while they were building, but the trumpeter remained with me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is demanding and extensive, and we are spread out on the wall, far removed from one another. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, gather there with us. Our God will fight for us." So we worked on with half-holding spears from dawn till dusk. At that time I instructed the people, "Let every man and his co-worker spend the night in Jerusalem, and let them be guards for us by night and workers by day." We did not change clothes, not I, nor my relatives, nor my workers, nor the watchmen who were with me. Each had his weapon, even when getting a drink of water. What a charismatic leader Nehemiah must have been in order to rally the people to come and do this work, even in the midst of the threats. For them to stay on the job says a lot for Nehemiah and for their dedication to doing the work of God. Well, as always, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I'm so glad you're with me. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.